the message.
Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? How do you like our new building? We are here. Oh, Lord. Some days it seemed like we'd never get here. It was a lot of work, but let me just give the vision. Why we moved to Gainesville is because what we're all about as a church is the reason we're here is to help people. We're here to help people know God. And, you know, we need to think about that. You know, you come, invite your friends, bring people, come for what you can get, stay for what you can give. And what we're giving, we're helping other people. I want everybody in this church to know God and to know God better. I want to know God better this week than last week. You never arrive, you never stop pressing in, getting to know God better. That's our number one goal, is to help people know God. You know, a lot of people in your life, they don't know God. They have some weird concepts about God because they don't know God. That's our first goal, is to help people know God. Second is to help people find freedom, because I found out in life, you get hurt, you get wounded, and the lie of the devil is, you know, just hang on to it, you know, and the truth of God is get free from it, get healed. You'll have a better tomorrow if you deal correctly with your yesterday. So we want to help people find freedom. We want to help people discover purpose, because I've found in life, a lot of people go through their whole life and never really discover how God uniquely made them and what they were made to do. So that's what discovery is all about. We want to help people discover their purpose. And number four is make a difference. Everybody has in the inside of you a desire to make a difference in this life before you leave. And you know what? You're supposed to make a difference. There's people that need you. That's what we're all about as a church. We're just upfront and honest. This is who we are. We want to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. And if you're up for that, welcome to the family. Church is a family. It's not just an organization. You know, it's all of us, our children. We're equal, and we serve a living God. Amen? So we're here. It was hard getting here, but it was worth it. How many of you like the building? I mean, you think, just let me know honestly, how does it feel? Does it feel right? How many would say this really feels right? It really feels good. All right, that's what I want to, that's in fact what Pastor Scott Hornsby, my overseer, he asked me, he says, I want to know one thing when you have the first service. What did it feel like? How did it feel? And I called him right afterwards, and he said, how did it feel? And I said, it felt awesome. It really did. We're not quite done. Pardon our dust, and, you know, we just put that wall up yesterday. Things need to be painted. You know, doors need closers. There's a lot of little things. So that's why we haven't made a big splash. Our grand opening, official grand opening, is September 15th. So think about that. That's when we're going to do a media blitz in September, because we still got to tweak some things. We want to get everything flowing right. We want to make sure we're ready. Also, summer is not a good time to launch. So we're going to launch, our official launch date is September 15th. So right now it's kind of like a soft opening. It's unofficial. In fact, interestingly enough, the last Sunday, 2 weeks ago, was our last Sunday in Micanopy, right? Yeah. And we talked about leaving with grace. And a new family came with four kids, a husband, wife, four kids, and the parents got saved. Two people got saved. Our last service in Micanopy, we left with grace. And last week, two people got saved and five people rededicated their life at the first service we had over here. So we've entered with grace. I believe God is in it, and it's been worth it. It's been hard. You all know you put in lots of hard work, but it's worth it. But we're not quite finished. You know, we're looking at September 15th being our launch date. So I hope everybody's excited about that. I want to thank everybody that worked so hard, came out. You know. I mean, you guys put in a lot of hours. One of these days I'll probably need to make a list and go through and thank everybody, because it's been incredible. But everybody did something. I mean, even people that, you know, that prayed, that was awesome, gave financially. It cost way more than we thought. We did, you know, we did have to borrow some to get in here, but we made it. But people gave many, many hours of hard work. And hopefully you walk around when you come and say, oh, I painted that door, and, I did this and I did that, and you'll remember that. So we're glad to be in here. I want to thank everybody that came. Be patient with the little things we're still working on. Now I want to tell you about a new ministry. I got, you know, a couple announcements, and we're going to get into our message. I want to let everybody know, the church family, about this new ministry so you understand it. So maybe it's a little confusing. It's called The Summit. The Summit is a space. It's a room, but it's also a ministry. It's a concept that we are trying to connect better with new people and help them figure us out, help us to figure out what they're looking for, make them feel comfortable. So it's a whole concept, a new avenue of ministry. So when you say the summit, think about it's a big picture and it's still being worked out. Now, and Amber Williams is heading up the summit ministry. And as I'm telling you about it, if that kind of clicks something in you and you say, I want to help with that, then see Amber. So you've seen this new little room that got created, this wall. It's not finished. We're going to paint that. And it's a special area for visitors, for new people. It's specific. We want to make them feel welcome. We want to make them feel special. And we want to have a place, kind of a quiet, separate place, where we can answer their questions and talk to them. Find out, what are you looking for? How can we help you? You want to get in a small group? Let me tell you about small groups. You want to serve on a team? Let me get you right plugged in a team. You have questions about who we are. That's what that space is for. And we're just, honestly, we're going to make it enticing. We've got goodies back there for them. They might be tired and hungry when they're done with the service and be thinking about leaving. We want to make it easy for them to stay, ask questions. So that's what the summit is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's goodies for them. There's a gift. And then at the end of every service, I will let everybody know what the summit is, and we'll tell them what the gift is. Right now, it's movie night on us. It's a Redbox movie and a thing of popcorn and some other goodies, and that's the gift that we have, a bag with information. There's snacks, there's drinks. Does that make sense? Everybody kind of understands Summit Ministry. So it's not for us. It's not for us that have been around. So the first-time person, or if they come back the second week and they're still figuring out, or the third week, that's for them. And then we need people on that team to be there, to be the smiling face, and find out, what are you looking for? What can I do for you? How do I help you? Because, people have different needs as they come to church, and we want to be sure we meet those. Does that make sense? The Summit Ministry, so I just want to explain that. At the end of every service, I'll invite new people to go to the Summit. So kind of leave an open aisle so it's easy for them to get in there, right? So we're thinking about, the church is the only organization that exists primarily for the people that are not there yet. Does that make sense? I want to be sure that we don't become a church for church people, because that's a pitfall that some churches can get into. And you get the church lingo, and then we got our own little club. That's not the design of the church. The church is for the people that aren't in it. It's the people that... So after you come in and you get to know God, you start thinking about the people that aren't in yet, that aren't in the family. They don't know God, and they make bad decisions because they think wrongly about God. So our heart as a church has to always be for those that aren't here yet. Does that make sense? All right, so that's really what the summit is all about. So I wanted you to understand that and know the concept behind that. And as I said, everything is being tweaked. Also, I just want to let you know that it's been a tough year for a lot of you, and it's been a tough year for me. I haven't had a vacation. I've had 2 days off in the last 13 months because I just wanted to get in here. I just knew that God wanted us in here. And that's actually not good. I don't recommend that to anybody. It's really not. And I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take off about 3 weeks and rest and just, kind of recharge my battery, refresh. And I really want to spend, just a lot of time with the Lord, seeking Him about our next phase of our journey as a church, and getting messages for the fall, understanding where, what God wants us to do. So, like last year, I took my first sabbatical, the month of June, last year. I wanted to do that this year, wasn't able to because, working on the building. But I'm going to kind of combine, vacation, sabbatical for the next 3 weeks. Can you allow me that? Is that good? Can you give me some time off? And I believe I'll come back stronger, and ready for September, because we're going to hit the ground running in September, letting people know. Hopefully the sign should be up in a few weeks. And, of course, we've got capable staff and other pastors and a beautiful lead team that we have here that's going to be able to just keep things going, right? So you're certainly welcome to invite people. Just understand we're still working out some of the bugs. And obviously we don't have the sign. There's a lot of things that we'd still like to do, and it's still on our list. And hopefully everything will be up and running by the 15th, and then we'll just really start that media campaign. So I just want to bring you guys up to speed on where we're at. If you have any other questions or ideas or you see things that need tweak, email me or call me during the week, or Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike, I mean, we got great offices. Just shout out to, I mean, as we took this building, I think one of the amazing things was people just said, I'll be responsible for that area. And one of those was Scott and Vicky said, can we just have the offices? I said, you can have the offices. And I don't know if you stuck your head in there, but I didn't, none of us did a thing in there, one thing, and they are awesome. And we just turned that over to them, and they just did an incredible job. But we have a nice office, two nice offices, and Pastor Mike will be here most of the week. So I think it's great. If you have ideas or something, check, call Pastor Mike, stop in. Oh, okay, one more thing. I knew we had a lot of announcements. It is time, once again, drum roll please, because anybody got any drums, for a new Dream Team Leader of the Month. Give a hand for our next Dream Team Leader of the Month, even though you don't know who it is. Let me see. It got a picture of the new Dream Team Leader of the Month. It is... No picture? Did we get the picture, Mike? You think we had it? Okay, well, while they're looking for it, I'll tell you who it is. Dream Team Leader of the Month this month is, give it up for John Cassay. John Cassay, Dream Team Leader of the Month. I just want to say, last month was our first Dream Team Leader Month, and we gave it to Barbara Roberts. There he is. Last month was the first one. We gave it to Barbara because we couldn't find anybody that's been Dream Team longer than her, because she's been Dream Team Leader for 20 years. So you can't beat that because we're only 20 years old. And this one, we wanted to give it to John because John is retiring from being a Dream Team Leader. He's been in charge of our facilities and housekeeping for the last 11 years, is it? 10 years, good enough. And... you all don't know what John does or has been doing on a weekly basis, and he would keep doing it, except he doesn't have a car and he lives in Micanopy, so he's had to retire and turn it over. He's turned it over to Tegan. Tegan needs a team. Shout out to Tegan getting a team. She needs some helpers. I can't tell you, you don't know how much John does on a weekly basis that nobody knows, week in, week out, facilities, fixing things, cleaning things, you know, replacing broken stuff, ordering stuff, keeping stuff stocked, cleaning the church. It has truly been a labor of love. And, you know, the thing that I fall on is I know he's going to get a hundredfold return in this life and in the age to come, because he has certainly given and given and given. John, come on up here. I got something for you. We know last month we gave out a Chick-fil-A gift card, but John doesn't like Chick-fil-A, so this is a Sonny's gift card for John. Would you like to say anything? You can find him. You're good?
Thank you.
Give John a hand. So John's... I can't tell you how much John has done for us as a church. And now, since you're Dream Team Leader of the Month, you now get the parking space. There's a parking space for Dream Team, even though you don't have a car. I don't know how you're going to do it. You're going to stand out there, put your bike in there or something, but you'll sell it. I thought about that. I thought John is going to sell his parking place. So talk to John after the service. You can get his spot. You don't even have to walk. All right, there are sermon notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand, and usher will give you a sermon note. The title of my message today is Seeing is Believing? Question mark. How many in this room are facing challenges in your life right now? Just be honest, and I'm raising my hand. Challenges, okay? And that's almost everybody, but not everybody. So all of you that raised your hand, this message is for you. All of you that didn't raise your hand, this message is for you. Because I am very glad that right now you are not facing big challenges in your life, but I have news for you. It's coming. And now is the time to get ready, because you still live on planet Earth, and you're never going to go through an extended period. Life on Earth is full of challenges. It's the way it is. It's the result of original sin. There's a curse. There's sickness. There's disease. There's pain. There's a devil. There's demons. There's enemies. There's people. And it is not possible to go through life without facing challenges. So right now you're either facing a challenge or getting rested up for the next challenge. So either position you're in, this message is for you, because there's really only one way given to us in the Word of God to prepare and to conquer the challenges of life. And here's what I want you to know, that according to God's Word, He wants us to overcome and not be dismayed by the fact that you face a challenge. The theme, the keynote verse for our church is, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. You're going to face stuff, difficulties, challenges in life. Don't let that discourage you. Let that buoy you up and say, by my God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. By my God, I'm going to get through. Whatever you're facing right now, you're going to get through. And if you're not facing something, that's great time to build yourself up, because it's this stuff is coming. It's just the fact of living on planet Earth. So that's what this message is all about. It's about faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We really can't spend enough time as Christians understanding and developing our faith. It's critical to our success as Christians. Here it is, Romans 1:17 says, the righteous man, obviously talking about mankind, man, woman, boy, girl, the righteous man, the righteous, the people of God, what shall they live by? Faith. They live by faith. In other words, you're not going to really live successfully if you haven't developed your faith. Faith is so critical. It's so important. The Christian life is a faith walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Too often we try to handle challenges with our own strength. And yes, you need your strength, but it's not enough to handle every circumstance. We need God's help to overcome. So you have to use your faith. You can't just think it's all on you. That's what crushes people. That's what beats people down. That's what makes people give up and want to give up and get depressed and discouraged and turn to addictions and everything, because the weight of the world is too much for me and you to handle. We need God's help, and the only way to tap into God's strength is through faith. So we want to talk about this a little bit today. Galatians 3:5 says this, so then, does he who provides you with the Spirit, has he provided you with the Spirit? If you're born again, you've been given the Holy Spirit. If you're not born again, that's why you're here today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer at the end of the service, that we're going to take care of that. And you can have God's Spirit on the inside of you. Does he then provide you, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you? Do you have an expectancy of miracles in your life? The Christian life, God is a miracle-working God. What's a miracle? It's something that defies the natural order of things. It's something that goes above and beyond what can be done in the natural. And our God is a miracle. He's a God of miracles. We need to expect miracles. We don't need to write miracles off. We need to think, oh, they just happened in the Old Testament. They just happened in Jesus' life. Then somehow they stopped. No, this is further on in the New Testament. It says he works miracles among you. Sometimes you need a miracle. A lot of times you need a miracle. It's almost like every day you need a miracle in your life. God is a miracle-working God. The one who set up the order of things proves that he's above the order of things by superseding the order of things. Like if Jesus walking on water. In the natural, that's not possible. Now, the one who created the molecular structure and design of everything, and then the fact, contradiction between gravity and buoyancy that says you couldn't walk on water, he is also able to supersede that and allow him to walk on water. The same thing with every circumstance in your life. If in the natural it says you're going down, that doesn't mean you're going down. If you cry out to God, he can make you go up. He can turn what the devil has meant for evil. And I tell you, I've seen this happen so many times. I've seen it happen just this past week. God will take what the devil meant for evil and turn it for good in your life. That's what Joseph told his brothers. He says, no, I'm not mad at you, he said, because God has taken what you meant for evil and turned it for good and turned it all around. He went from being a slave and in prison to the palace in one day because he never gave up faith. It took a while. That's the hard part of faith, is it takes longer than I want it to take. You have to hold on to your faith, because if you don't give up, you're going to get through, you're going to get a breakthrough, and you go from the prison to the palace suddenly, just like that. It will happen if you don't give up. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Don't give up on faith. Don't give up on God and what God has for your life. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? What's the answer? He posed that question on purpose because you know he's been talking about Galatians, how that the law. Now, last week I had the two charts up here. I had the grace chart, and then I had the law chart, and how we have gone from the law, which is still true, but we're not under the law, we're under grace. So how does grace, what you need to solve your problem is grace. Where does grace come from? It comes from God. How is it made available to us? Through Jesus. All right? Everything you and I need in life was made available to us through the cross. That's why the cross is so. That's why he had to be crucified. He had to die. He had shed his blood, give his body to be beaten, hang on the cross. Cursed is every man that hangeth upon a cross. So he had to take the curse so that we could have the blessing. So everything that you and I need in life comes through grace, right? And I told you last week, how do we access grace? What is the connection between me and grace? What releases grace into my life? Do you remember from last week? Somebody tell me. Faith. Faith releases what grace contains. It has to be the human element. It's not automatic. If it was, everybody on the earth would be automatically saved because Jesus died on the cross for everybody, right? God so loved the world, okay? But it doesn't stop there. Whosoever does what? Believeth on him. What releases saving grace from the cross? Faith. What releases healing grace? Faith. What releases financial grace? Faith. What releases a supernatural move to move a mountain in some situation, a relationship, or some obstacle, something going on? Faith. In every area, there is a grace for everything. Provides you with the Spirit, works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law. For every area of life, there is a grace, but it is released by faith. So how does God operate in the New Testament? By the law? No, by faith. And back to our scripture from last week, John chapter 1 and verse 7. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. How is grace released? I just said it, but here's the scripture for it, Romans 4:16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that may be in accordance with grace. So two things there. One is, there's a grace for every need you have in your life. The other is that faith has to be connected to grace. If you're believing for something that God has not said in his word that he's going to do, then your faith is amiss. So your faith has to be connected to a biblical reality that God has said. And we're going to get into more details on that. I'm going to give you some help in that area. So, by faith, in accordance with grace. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, here's how important faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God? Can't do it without faith. Can't do it without faith. So it's too long we've been struggling and praying and crying, God, help me, God, help me. God wants to help you, but sometimes crying is not a statement of faith. You know, it's okay to bring your problem to God, but bring it in faith. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition, what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. So faith is connected with grace. So faith is so important because it releases grace in your life. So do we really understand faith? This is what I'm asking today. This is a little bit in depth. I hope you'll go with me on it, but I'm telling you, it's really, really going to help you in the coming week. It's really going to help you with your struggles. Rather than sitting around, I've heard this so many times, and I've done it myself. God, why aren't you helping me? God, the fault's not with God. I need to learn how to connect my faith to the grace and not give up. First of all, you have to hook your faith with the grace and not just complain and not get. If I've come to realize this, if I'm ever mad at God, I'm a dummy. Think about it. Think about how dumb that is. He's God all by himself, always was and always will be God. He's perfect. He never makes a mistake. Nothing ever occurs to God. He knows everything ahead of time. He is love. He's perfect love. He loves me so much he's already proved it and gone to the cross. And everything he does has been bent toward me to help me, and then I'm mad at God? That's just dumb. You have to come to a place in your life where when you see yourself getting mad at God, you stop and say, this is wrong, and it's not going to lead to a good conclusion, because God is never wrong. He's always right, and he's perfect love. There's something I need to do, or if I'm facing adversity, it's not God, it's the devil, it's the circumstance of life, it's something that I have to push out of the way, and he loves for me to do that, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. It took me a long time to understand faith. I think it's sometimes in the kingdom of God, we don't spend enough time talking about faith. When I first got saved in the charismatic movement in 1974, I remember asking people, we were studying about, I wanted to learn about God, what is faith? I'm telling you, nobody could explain faith to me. People did not know what faith was. It took me a long time to find people that actually understood it, and I started realizing what it was. And the hard part about it was what it put a lot of responsibility on me, which is very necessary. All right, so I'm going to explain faith to you in very simple terms. You might want to write it in your notes. It helps me. There's a lot of ways to explain faith. There's a lot of things we could talk about faith. This, to me, if you unpack it theologically, you could just write books about it, but there's a lot contained in it. And this is the statement that I like to make about faith that I think will help you. Faith is acting like God is not a liar. That's what a lot of ways we could explain it, but I think that encompasses everything. If you can get this, faith is acting like God is not a liar. So there's three things you need to unpack out of that right now today. Three things. Number one, you have to act. You have to act. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. Faith without works is dead, right? So it will require an action on your part, and sometimes the action is inaction. In other words, if you're so mad at somebody you want to kill them, and you just, if you get into faith, you say, I'm going to give that to God, and then you don't kill them. But there's always a corresponding action, but sometimes it's not doing what you thought was the right thing to do. And it might be doing something that you didn't think you were going to do, but there will always be some outward manifestation of faith working in your life. So that's number one, is you have to act. And that's in your notes. There's some fill in the blanks, and if you like fill in the blanks, this will make you very happy. And number two is you have to believe, because you never act, you never do something without having thought about doing it before you do it. So faith has to enter your heart and your mind and change your thinking. Before you act, you have to think. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God every day. The Bible talks about having your mind renewed by the Word of God, because we get stinking thinking, we get old thinking, we get bad thinking, we get our own thinking, we get thinking from our mama, somebody that hurt us, and we get bad thinking, and we need to get new thinking. We need a checkup from the neck up and go to the Word of God and ask Him to take out the bad thoughts and put in the good thoughts. And that's why the washing of the water of the Word is so important in your life every day, to get in the Bible every day and let Him wash out the bad thinking and put in the good thinking, because you're not going to act until you believe. You're not going to believe until you think. So the first step is you have to act, but before you act, you have to believe. And then the third thing is you have to know what God says about a subject. To act like God's not a liar, if I come up to you and I tell Mac, I say, what do you think, Ray's a liar? What's he going to say? Well, what did he say? I don't know what he said. I got to tell him what he said. So if I say to you, you have to act like God's not a liar, your first question should be, well, what did he say? And that is what we have to know. What did God say? You're facing some circumstance in life, let's say. Healing, let's just say healing. I think we all, at one time or another, deal with difficulties in our body, right? So in order for me to release grace, the first thing, is there grace for healing? How do I know? That's why God gave us the Bible. God gave us the Bible. He purposely had this. It's a love letter. It's an instruction manual. If you buy a computer, you want a manual. If you buy a car, you need a manual. What kind of fuel do I put in? Is this diesel? Is this propane? I put 87 octane, 93 octane. I need to know. How does this thing run? And God's like, he made us. He tells, here's how to make it run successfully. And in this, he tells us where the grace is. And if it's not there, it ain't there, and your faith won't connect to anything. So the question then, if you're facing adversity in your body, a challenge, is God a healing God? And I'm here to tell you, in short, yes. And I've put together some scriptures, and they're going to be available out front before you leave, a list of scriptures on different subjects. On fear, if you're struggling with fear. What does God say? That's the question. What does God say? You know, is people just tough it through. Okay, that's pretty good advice. But that may not be releasing grace if I haven't seen what God says about fear. I need to see what God says. Right here, 2 Timothy 1:17. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound. Oh, he's given me. Yeah, God hasn't given me a spirit. I can take that scripture every day and confess it and believe it till my faith rises up and releases the grace in my life and conquers the fear. You have to connect to the grace, and the connection, the identification and where grace is in the Word. To act like God's not a liar, I got to know what he says. If he says nothing in the Bible about fear, then I have nothing to connect to. But thank God he says lots of things about fear. He says lots of things about health. By his stripes I was healed. He bore my pain, Isaiah 53. He bore my pain, carried away my diseases. In Matthew 4, it says he healed all that it was fulfilled what might be written by Isaiah the prophet, and refers back to that. So it tells you what he was talking about in that passage. He was healing people, and it said this is the fulfillment of that. So I hook my faith to that. God's no respecter of persons. If you healed that guy, you'll heal me. And then it goes on, hundreds of verses about healing. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's the way to get healed. It says if you have a mountain, speak to the mountain. There's all kinds of scriptures on healing. But I got to know what God says, and then I got to act like he's not a liar. First, I got to say, if I see in the Bible that he says I can be healed, that's the first thing. I got to see that he said it. Next, I got to convince my mind to make me act like he's not a liar. Now, I want to say this. God will use any and every source available to heal. I'm not against doctors, because God can use a doctor to bring healing. You got to find your own avenue to healing, but you should never just settle for what's attacking your body? Because Jesus never left anybody in the condition he found him when they came to him for healing. Never. Certainly, if there was some out or some reason why he couldn't heal, of all the people he healed, one of them had to have one of those reasons. But there is no reason why God won't heal you. You have to know that he wants you healed. You have to hook your faith to it, release the grace. And that is true for every area of life. It's true for finance, it's true for relationships. But we have to go to the Word. That's why it's so important. Read the Word. Now, I've made it easy for you, I'll admit, but that's all right. That's all right. Make it easy. Take this. There's a stack of them out there by the door. I got a section on how to be in Christ, to know who you are in Christ. Section on fear. There's a section here on faith. There's a section on boldness. Are you timid? Here's boldness. There's a section on victory if you're facing something. There's a section on health. There's a section on finances. There's all these prosperity. I'm just making it easy for you. Take this, find the script, and latch on to them. It's God's word for you. Why did he give this to us? Because he wants us to succeed and to have victory. And this is how to have victory. You have to act, you have to believe, but you have to know what God says. Act like God's not a liar. So, the original statement, let's go back to this statement. The title of the message, Seeing is Believing. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Seeing is believing. Spoiler alert. Not true. It's actually kind of like the opposite. I understand what people, that's not a biblical statement. Seeing is believing. What they're saying is, you know, I can't fathom faith. I have to see it happen. But here's the way it works. When you see it, there is no believing. You've already seen it. Seeing is the fulfillment of what you have believed. So sometimes we get squirrely in our ideas about God because we take statements like that and try to bring them into Christianity, and it makes no sense at all. So let's look at what the Bible says, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of what? Things not seen. So in order for faith to be faith, it has to be unseen. Now, when you believe and it comes into reality, then it's seen. I don't need my faith anymore, right? Just a really crude example, but I think it'll help understand. If I look at that chair, I say, well, I think it'll support somebody. It might support somebody. You know, I believe it'll support somebody. Mm-hmm. And then Mike sits in it. Now I'm not using my faith. I don't believe the chair will support Mike because he's sitting on the chair, right? Now I've seen it. So seeing is not believing. Seeing is the fulfillment of what you've already believed. But in Christianity, there has to be the lag between when you believe and haven't seen until it becomes a reality. That's the challenge, is not giving up your faith in the in-between time when you're believing for something to happen. Does that make sense? In order for faith to operate, the object of faith must be unseen. You can't hope for what you have. I hope we get a mic stand one day to hold that mic. No, it's there, right? It has to be not there. There's stuff in your life that's not there that you want. That's where your faith comes in. What are you trying to pull from the unseen to the seen? What are you trying to pull into reality? That's where you use your faith, not on the stuff that you already have. So Abraham, you remember Abraham? You got in the beginning of the Bible, we got Adam and Cain and Abel, and then God speaks to this man, Abram, changes his name to Abraham. He blesses him, he's prosperous, but he's 75 years old, and he wants a child. His wife's 65, they've been barren, she can't have, she's past childbearing age, and God speaks to him and says, I'm going to give you a child at 75. And the Bible says for 25 years, he didn't doubt, but he believed God, and at the age of 100, and his wife is 90, he has the child. That's a long time, especially at that stage of your life. Now, it bugs me, but it seems to be the way that God likes to operate in my life. I mean, you know, if you're 75 and you're believing for a child and you haven't had one at this point, your wife's 65, and God says, I'm going to give you a child, what are you thinking? 9 months from now, we're going to have a child because it's going to be too late. And God delighted in waiting. He had to hold on to his faith. And that is true for your life and my life. The stuff that you're believing for, it will always take longer than you want it to take. And that's the test of your faith. That's where you have to hold on to your faith. So let's read this again in Romans chapter 4. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. I already read that statement. Now we're linking it to Abraham, the guy that had to wait 25 years, right? So that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. Do you have the faith of Abraham? I want to have the faith of Abraham. Who is the father of us all, as is written? A father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom, what did Abraham do? Believed. He believed. He believed God. You and I have to believe. Even God, who gives, watch this, life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. You can't say seeing is believing. No, believing is expecting until you see it. He calls into the being that which did not exist. Some of the things in your life that you need, they don't exist. It's okay. That's where God likes to operate. He calls into being those things that do not exist. He's supernatural. He's not just in the natural. He's unlimited. He's beyond the natural. He's not bound by time. He's outside of time. In hope against hope, talk about Abraham, he believed so that he might be the father of many nations, according to which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. What happened? Without becoming weak in faith. That's where you and I. That's the test. Without becoming weak in faith. He contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God. All right, that's acting like God's not a liar. What did he say? Get the promise. Find a promise for your situation. What's God's promise? Hang on to it like a pit bull. Don't let it go. Just latch onto it. Hang on. Yes, that's how faith works. You can't go back and forth. You can't waver. Maybe God's going to do it. Maybe not. You can't give up. You just got to hang on to it. Imagine this man hanging on to a promise for 25 years. Oh, he's 100 years old, but that's what it says. He didn't let go of it. Didn't waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. He acted like God was not a liar. He acted like it. He kept telling people, I'm going to have a son. He's 100. Imagine how foolish that looked. Never had a child, or you've been married all these years, and you keep that, you're 100 years old, and you're still telling people, I'm going to have a son. He had to believe before he saw it. He had to believe in order to see it. He didn't wait until he saw that he was born. Seeing is the fulfillment of what you believe for. What promise are you believing for? What promise are you believing for? I've got a place in your notes, and you might want to write it down. You might want to write it down right now. You might want to write it down when you get home. Take this. Write down what you're believing for. Then find out. And you need to always be believing for something. Always. There's always something that you, because your life can't be limited to what it is now. It's bigger than that. God's plan for you is bigger than that. Write down what you're believing for. Stretch for something. You're always going to be straining against something in this life. You're always going to be. You're always, that's it. That's in this world. Sometimes we think that becoming a Christian means that heaven will be on earth, and it won't. Heaven is heaven, and there's no opposition. There's no devil. There's no demons. There's no sickness, and there's no disease. There will always be opposition in this earth. That means you're always hoping for something. You're not evil because you're facing some struggle in life. You're not a bad person because you have challenges. Paul was one of the greatest men of God, and he faced more challenges than anybody I've ever heard of, or anybody of the stuff that he had to go through. In fact, the greater the calling on your life, the more challenges. The devil knows the calling. He knows. He operates in the spirit. He understands the call on your life, and that's why he's thrown so much stuff at you to keep you from being what you're supposed to be. And you have to press through in faith. You have to go through. Where there's no resistance, there can be no faith. You have to have resistance to use faith. It's just like lifting weights. How does faith grow? It has to work, and it has to be fed. What do you feed your faith? The Bible. And how do you work your faith? You believe. You have to believe for something. If you have a set of weights that weigh nothing, they do nothing. Your muscles won't grow. There's no resistance. That's why you're facing the crud that you're facing, because your faith needs. That's why James said right here in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing something. It produces endurance. The testing, your faith has to be tested. Your faith, that's why you're going what you're going through, because your faith has to be tested. So that changes your, when you look at what you're going through, that changes your perspective. Don't see it as something, oh, it's just bad, this is just terrible. See it as an opportunity for me to use my faith, and to please God. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Hang on to it. And let endurance have its perfect result. Here's God's desire for your life. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How many of that sounds pretty good? I'd like to be perfect and complete. Is there stuff you're lacking right now? That means you're alive on planet Earth. Is there stuff you're still hoping for? Is there stuff you're still believing for? How are you going to get it? Is it just going to fall on you like ripe cherries falling off a tree? No, you're going to have to take it by faith. Now, if you were told something different when you came into Christianity, I'm sorry to be the one that has to break it to you, but you're going to have to use your faith. There's going to be struggle. It's okay, because you know what? God put it in our hearts to be fighters. To want to fight in the spirit, not to want to fight in the natural, but to want to fight in the spiritual realm, to get all that God has for us to be the man or woman of God that God wants you to be. It's written on the inside of you, in your DNA, to want to be and to come against anything that comes against you and to become the great man of women of or woman of God that God's called you to be. God doesn't make no junk. God don't make no junk. God doesn't make any failures. God doesn't plan a failure. God doesn't put people in the womb and say, that's a good one, that's a good one, that's a failure, that's a good one. No. He sees everybody with an awesome, incredible impact on this earth. Everybody in this room, you were designed to make a mark in this earth that cannot be erased, to impact other people, to help other people, to be great. Everyone in this room was designed for greatness, but you're going to need to use your faith to get there. Amen. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this? Let's just think about God wants you complete, lacking in nothing. So you're going to have to keep believing. Just think about what you're facing. Don't get discouraged. Don't grow weary in believing and holding on and hanging on to what you... Don't think you're a bad person because you've been believing and you're trying and you're struggling. And you face all... You are not a bad person, or you wouldn't even be here today. You wouldn't be thinking about God. You wouldn't be trying to be pleasing to God. You're not a bad person. I break that lie of the devil. And you haven't messed up so bad that you can't get back on track. That never happens with God. He's always able to put you back on track. He's the God of the eternal now. He can always move things ahead of time, move you and accelerate you and get you where you need to be. Look at the great men and women of the Bible. They made mistakes. Not one of them was flawless. Every one of them made mistakes. Peter denied the Lord. God put him right back on track. Said, Peter, he made special things. Come on, buddy. Come on. I got a job for you to do. Everybody in this room, there's a job for you to do. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. There's a job for you to do on this planet. There's something for you to do. But it's going to take faith, and you can't give up, and you can't give up on yourself, and you can't hate yourself, and you can't be mad at yourself. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive other people so they're not holding you back. You can't change what they did, but you can change their effect on the rest of your life by releasing them and letting them go. For you, not for them, for you. Let them go. Let it go. Because you have an assignment on this planet. There's something for you to do, and we need you. The church needs you. We need you to be everything you're supposed to be. We need your gifts. We need your talents. We need the things that God's put on the inside of you in your DNA. Now Ray's starting his homeless ministry. He's been talking about this for years. It's on the inside of him. And there's everybody in this room, there's something like that on the inside of you that you want to do. Maybe you're not even sure how it works out. Just get involved in a team and start moving. It's hard to steer a parked car. Start moving. Start serving somewhere. Become a greeter. Become an usher. Work in the nursery. Something. And then you fine-tune. Oh, I think I need to do this. I think I need to do that. Start moving. Just start moving. That's what God wants us. Moving in the right direction. But God has something awesome. Keep believing. Don't quit. Don't quit. Never give up. If you're struggling, you're in good company. Abraham struggled. Moses struggled. King David struggled. Daniel. Jesus met opposition everywhere he went. Peter, James, John, Paul. Every Christian who ever lived has faced struggles. You're in good company. I just want to encourage you today just to keep on believing. Encourage yourself. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. And yeah, listen, let me just one final thought. You have to learn to strengthen yourself. Thank God when people will encourage you. But let me tell you, people are people. We make mistakes. We're each of us fighting our own battles. God is God. He's always God. And He's always there. You have to, no matter who else there is to encourage you, learn to go to the Lord. Because He's always there. He's never busy. You never get a busy signal. You never get an answering machine. He's there. He's there for you. Let's go to the Lord. Let's learn to go to Him. Go to His Word. See what He said. Keep believing. You know what? You're going to make it. I want to tell you, you're going to make it. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't serious about God. Your faith is getting stronger. And I felt as I was preparing this message to say by just the Holy Spirit, I felt like telling you, your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. A solution is coming. Help is on the way. Just don't give up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to be in your house and to be in your kingdom and just to know how much you love us and how good you are, Lord God, how good you are. You're so good, Lord God. I just want to pray for everybody that's here today. I know you're going through something. Look up. Look up to God. Look up in your heart. Have faith in what you're going through. You're going to make it. Just say to yourself, I'm going to make it. This thing is not going to crush me. I'm going to crush this thing by the power of God. By the power of God, I can conquer this. I'm an overcomer. Just say, I'm an overcomer. I'm not a loser. I'm not a failure. I'm an overcomer. I've been through some stuff, and it's just made me stronger. And I'm going to go through some more stuff, but I'm going to get better, and I'm going to get stronger, and I'm going to rely more on God. It's going to make me a better person, and I'm going to help other people out of some of the same situations that I've been in. The stuff that I've been through to help somebody else come through. But I've been through it. And I'm going forward. I'm not going backward. And I'm not stuck where I am. I'm going forward. I haven't come this far to stop now. I'm going forward. Lord, bless your people right now. Each one, Lord God. Let faith rise in our hearts. And right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I got a very important question for you. And that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I think so. I hope so. I mean, can you really know? Yeah? The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. Well, how do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. You see, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again by an act of your own free will. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. We're going to take care of that. It's just a matter of surrendering your life to God. You ask him to forgive your sins, he does it. And he comes and he lives on the inside of you. And he makes you into a new person. If you're ready for that, that's why you're here today. But you might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. The devil's been winning, but I'm ready to make a new step. Get back in the battle, fight the fight of faith. I want to be a conqueror. I want today to be the first day of the rest of my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick. I want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You want me to pray for you? Thank you. Anybody else? It's got a new day. You want to make a new start. You can trust Jesus for the rest of your life. I want to lead you and put your hands down. I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with him. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Man business with God.